Tonight I want to really talk to you about God on trial. But before I begin tonight, I want to remind you of what is going on in our society today. As in the beginning of the church age, God was put on trial. Jesus was put forward as being a heretic or a phony. God was on trial. In our generation right now, you and I are witnessing once again God on trial. I don't know whether it's worse now than it was 100 years ago. I wasn't around then. I don't know whether it was worse now than it was 1,000 or 2,000 years ago. I wasn't around then either. But to see what is going on in God's house with God's people turning away, or those that are professing to be children of God, turning away from the doctrine of who Christ is, the biblical doctrine that Jesus Christ came and he conquered. He's the conquering spirit for our lives, and he came and he conquered and he set up his church. We now are the body of Christ on earth, living through the spirit that he has given us. But now in our generation, we witness again God on trial, the church. I have never witnessed in my life, and I'm sure that none older than me have never witnessed such a vile attack against Christianity. An attack that is going to the depth of who we are as Christians and who Christ is as our Lord and Savior. God is watching to see whether or not the church, the body of Jesus, his Son, alive on earth today, will stand and proclaim, "Thus saith the Lord thy God." Or are we living in such a generation that once again we will choose individuals who will make us feel good and make us think good thoughts? Folks, I cannot think good thoughts when the world is turned against Christ. I cannot think good thoughts when I know that there's a world of people out there that do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior. I cannot be at peace within myself knowing that we have such heresies that are going on today in our generation, saying that you're born to go to heaven or you're born to go to hell. There is no choice. The choice is Jesus Christ. If we were not given a choice, my friends, why would Christ have to have died? If we were not given a choice to choose good or evil, why would there be both good and evil within our society? If Jesus is not who he claimed to be, and these folk are trying to tell us or are trying to preach to us that it's okay, you're going to heaven if you were going to heaven, and you're going to hell if you're going to hell, there's nothing you can do to change it. Well, they're right there, because Jesus already did it. But Jesus, once again, in the church, called by his name, has been placed on trial again. When we see a society that has taken the holy word of God, pushed it back and rewritten scripture according to their belief of who God ought to be. That's the society in which we're living. But let's go back some 2,000 years and see if there's much difference then as to compare to now. God on trial. Matthew 26, verse 37. Those who had seized Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest. Oh, let me teach you something here. When the priesthood had begun, the priesthood was based on who God calls and who God places. And the high priest was high priest for life. They had to die not to be the high priest. But in order to take control of the Jewish nation and those religious Jews, the Romans decided that they would take power, and the high priest was appointed by the Roman governors. It was an appointment by the enemy of God, appointed the high priest, putting them in so that they could keep control of us, the little people. I'm going to have to do a sermon on little people, aren't I? On us, the very ones that Jesus came and died for. On the very ones also that Jesus came to die for who were wealthy, who were brilliant. And Jesus says, I have come. But let me finish reading that now. I thought you would like to hear that. Those who had seized Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were gathered together. Matthew 26:59. Listen to this closely. Now the chief priest and the whole council kept trying to obtain false testimony. Let me read that again. The chief priest and the whole council kept trying to obtain false testimony. Because you see, the truth was and is Jesus is God incarnate. The truth was Jesus never said the things they said he said. The truth is and was, in our generation, we are witnessing once again God on trial, and those who are putting God on trial keep trying to obtain false testimony against Jesus. No difference. Still looking to crucify Jesus in a 21st century, but still looking for false testimony. You know why? Because the true testimony of who Jesus is would not have placed him on a cross, would not be able to charge him with a crime. It had to be a lie. And we live in a generation that had rather believe the lie than to listen to the truth. As Christ knocks on the heart of a whole society, a society that closes their heart, locks the door on the truth, it's easier to believe a lie than it is the truth. So that they might put him to death. The lie will put Christ to death. But you and I know better. Because we are of Christ. And Christ is in us. And we know that Jesus Christ is alive and doing quite well at the Father's side. Doing quite well in the hearts of those that he has touched and he has called. Jesus is alive. And he's alive because of the truth. He was not crucified because of the truth. He was crucified because of a lie, yet truth was put on the cross. Jesus said, I am truth. I am life. And by the way, I'm the resurrection. He said, now that's the truth of who I am. But man did not want to hear the truth. They wanted to have control. The Roman Empire wanted control of the people. The Roman army wanted control of those that were civilians. And then in the civilians, you had the pecking order. And it pecked right down the people like me. People from Buffalo, Kentucky. Snotty-nosed kid running up and down a hill. And Jesus said, I love you, Larry Pete. And Jesus looked to us, and he looked to our heart. And God says, I will call who I decide to call. The power of a government does not make the call for God. The power of the Holy Spirit declares the call of God. Matthew 26:60. They did not find any even though many false witnesses came forward. Do you know how powerful that message is? Jesus is standing there saying nothing, and God confounds his enemies to even where the priest could not believe the false testimony. They wanted to believe it, but it was so out of whack, even they couldn't convict on that. Now, we're not going to make it, even our lying witnesses. They can't even lie very good. Guess they weren't Baptist. Listen, folks. The foolishness that began in the church with Christ going to the cross is no different today. It is no different today. You see, the same spirit that led to false witnesses then are leading the false witnesses today. The same spirit that lived in Jesus and was transferred to you and me is the same spirit that lived then also. The positive spirit of who God is the same spirit. God knows Satan, knows him well, kicked him out of heaven, as a matter of fact. But then he said, woe to you, earth, he's coming down. Well, you and I know that he's here. And you and I truthfully can say that we know him well. We've had a lot of dealings with him in our life. At some points of our life, we would have walked around with our arm on a shoulder. Others, we would have walked around with him. We just didn't want anybody else to know we were. Same thing went on then. Judas walking around with Christ, everybody would look and they would see, well, no, there's Judas. He's a Christian. He's with Jesus. Here's something that I want you to remember if you're one of the little people like me. An intellect, the most intellectual disciple with Jesus. What was his name? Judas Iscariot. Judas had it all. They put him in charge of the money because he was smart. Folks, I'm so glad I'm not smart. And I'm so thankful that Jesus calls whosoever he will. And I'm so thankful that the door is still open for all those who say, I don't believe Jesus. And you people, you Christians, you're believing of fairy tales. You don't even believe the truth. The attacks against the church of Jesus Christ are going on nationwide and worldwide. We know and we hear every day about Christians throughout the world that are being slaughtered because they're Christians. And we see every day in America where it's against the law to slaughter us yet that way. But it's not against the law to try to destroy the church through a lie. So allow the lie to come into the pulpit. And what do? You do as the Romans did. You control the people. Convince them that it's not by the blood of Jesus Christ, and whosoever will let him come. You teach them that that's not the way it is, because you are the only ones that can be saved. Therefore, don't sweat it. And those others need to be sweating because they're going to hell whether they like it or not. They're not going to be given the chance to say, I believe Jesus. That's a false doctrine. That's heresy. And as Brother Randy let me know, people like me need to be standing up and letting the truth be known. And people like Brother Randy need to be standing up, letting the world know. You take the blood of Jesus Christ, you take the true story of Jesus Christ, Jesus in the manger, Jesus growing to walk to that cross, you take that story away from people, and where's the hope? Because you see, there's no story in the Bible that's a lie. Okay, so they said that we're foolish because I believe that there's really a giant fish out there swallowed Jonah. Oh, I can't believe you believe that. You're really not all there, are you? Well, I may not all be there, but Jesus compared his stay in the tomb with Jonah in the whale's belly or in the giant fish's belly. Would Jesus make a comparison of himself coming out of a tomb to a lie that was told or to a fable? No. You reckon maybe that Jesus really was touching some hearts when he said to Larry Pete, "You must become as a little child to enter the kingdom of God." That's total trust in the one who loves me, just like a child does for their parents or with their parents. Total trust as a little child. If I ever become so intellectual, no sweat on this, if that were ever to happen, I would have to leave out the story of Easter because it's just not practical. Well, I'll read that one to you. Wait a minute. Here's your key takeaway. When life isn't fair, trust God to do what is right for your life. Well, Larry, life isn't fair. Well, get over it. It's not fair for anybody. It's rough out there in that life. Don't blame your situation on someone else. Stand up and be counted among the army of God. How do you respond when others put you on trial? You've ever been put on trial for something you're not guilty of? Gosh, folks, I've listened to people try to condemn me, and I feel sorry for them to the extent. Would you all sit down and shut up? I can tell you a bunch of stuff on me. No sin, don't make us. Let me tell you the truth. That's bad enough. But no, you and I are born again through the blood of Jesus Christ. You and I have the choice to either accept Jesus as Lord and Savior or to reject him. So as all human beings that are born have the opportunity, the free will, the freedom to say yes to Christ or to reject Christ. Now that was predestined by God, that we would have the free will choice. Yet in this day, right now, we're listening to folk that says, "You don't really believe, do you, that you have the freedom to choose?" Yes, I do. You know, you all will never understand totally what I mean when I say how much I love you and I'm so glad I'm here. Number one thing I want you to do, trust God, Job 1:22. In all this, Job did not sin. Now, how would he have committed sin? This is what's happening today. Listen. By. In all this, Job did not sin by. You see it there? By charging God with wrongdoing. Sin is when you charge God foolishly. Sin is when you say, the story that Christ has laid on my heart, the Holy Spirit has wrapped me in. Sin is when you say, that story's a fable. That's sin. And that's charging God foolishly. Job was in a hurt big time. But one thing he didn't do was charge God foolishly or with wrongdoing. Matthew 26, verses 62 through 63. Now the high priest stood up and said to him, Jesus, "Do you not answer? What is it that these men are testifying against you?" But Jesus kept silent. If you'll take care of your character, God will take care of your reputation. If you'll take care of your character, God will take care of your reputation. Jesus was silent. But then 1 Peter 2:23. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. Speaking of Jesus. While suffering, he uttered no threats. Can you picture me and you there suffering? You cut these twines off of me and I'll show you. Think of it. Or, "I wouldn't push it, boys. I have a Father in heaven. But Jesus didn't do any of that. But he kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. See, he was telling God on him. And he said, Father, I am in your hands. We already know that he said that he didn't even utter a word that the Father didn't give him to utter. So now, he's being silent. Why is he being silent? Ecclesiastes 3:7. There's a time to be silent and a time to speak. Notice something about Jesus' ministry. It's all timed prior to him coming. Remember, he would say, it's not yet my time. It is not yet my time. And the time was coming. Did he not tell his disciples that night? He said, my time has come. I'm going to be going. Then they said, where are you going? He told them for 3 years where he was going and what was going to happen. And where are you going? Perhaps the church has been silent long enough. Perhaps we have sat back and said, it doesn't really matter what people outside here are teaching. Well, it does. We have professors in college, teachers in school. Remember the one young man who got in trouble, got kicked out, expelled, a college student, I believe, when the professor told him to write Jesus on a piece of paper. Now lay it in the floor. And it told the whole class, now stomp on it. One kid, I'd call kid, one young man in that class picked it up and laid it back on the counter. And he said, I will not step on the name of Jesus. Well, you're out of here. Let me tell you, folks, a few more of us need to be out of here. A few more of us need to have the character to stand up for Christ. God will take care of the reputation. Stand up for the truth of God. Number one's trust God. Number two, tell the truth. The lie will get you in a mess in a heartbeat. Matthew 26:63-65. But Jesus kept silent, and the high priest said to him, I adjourn you by the living God, that you tell us whether you are the Christ, the Son of God. Well, Jesus' time had come. Jesus said to him, you have said it yourself. Nevertheless, now pay attention to that. You have said it yourself. You have just brought judgment on your own head. You have been judged because you know that I am the Son of God. You are just now brought judgment on yourself. You have said it yourself. Nevertheless, I tell you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. That shook him up. Then the high priest tore his robes and said, he has blasphemed. Once again, the high priest was pronouncing judgment upon himself. What further need do we have of witnesses? They didn't have any more. What further need do we have of witnesses? Behold, you have now heard the blasphemy. God heard the true blasphemy. What does God hear today? Does God see the character of Christians standing up for the truth of God, for the truth of our Savior? Is that what God sees? Does he see us having enough character, knowing that we're going to lose whatever within the community? Or we're going to use why we can't be called a part of that group any longer because we're just not going along with them? Well, no, we're not. I'm going to go along with Jesus, right? Is that not what we're called to do? Am I called again to sell my soul to the Roman Empire? Are you and I to be manipulated like marionettes? I'm with Gene. Puppets are a lot easier. Think of it. That's where Satan wants us. Let me tell you what you need to do. Yeah. Do you ever have enough people tell you what you need to do and you realize that you sure didn't need to do what all of them told you to do? There's where we belong to Christ. If you are put on trial, listen to this, and life is unfair, trust God for deliverance. Stand in God's truth and you will be victorious in everything. Through God's mighty power and promises, victory in Jesus. That's what you and I have. That's the hope of the world. But as soon as the pulpit no longer hears the teaching about Jesus, as soon as the proclamation leaves the pulpit, soon it will leave each pew a little bit at a time as a death sentence. Once again, society has put God on trial. They shouldn't have done that, because Jesus says, I'm coming. I'm coming again. And I'm coming back as a reigning king. I'm coming for my church. And that's where you get the scripture. When the Lord comes, will he find faith on earth? Will there be a church left? Will there be a church, not just called church, but will there be a church for the heart of who Jesus is? His church, not ours. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are in control. Help each of us, Father, that we might make that special commitment to you, and that we will dedicate our heart and our life and all of our being to serving you while here on this earth. Let your will be our will. Father, give us the protection. Give us the wisdom. Give to us what you believe we need, that we might stand strong and true for the truth of your Son. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.